Places here at Andrew Memorial, and I hope that you would come and be a part of this. It'd be a great Sunday night crowd. Pastor would be encouraged, and really, the Lord would be exalted. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we're going to study all week this one topic. Here it is, how to keep your joy. How to keep your joy. Well, that's what Paul's really talking about through the book of Philippians. We looked in Sunday school, different circumstances that you and I really face are the same circumstances that Paul faced. The disconnection, the situation of being disconnected from those that we love. Paul says, you don't have to lose your joy over that. Distress, and no doubt we live in some stressful times, at different seasons of stress that you and I may arrive at. But Paul says, get it, you don't have to lose your joy. He said, of course, the third one was even death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Wow, wouldn't it be awesome if we could have that same mindset, that even if we were to leave this earth, our presence and before the God of all creation would be joyful. I believe this. The reason why Paul was able to say that is because he lived his life here on this earth with no regrets. Can I tell you, the only way that we're ever going to be that way is if you and I are willing to rewrite the false narrative of how we think it ought to be to what God says it should be. We said the theme verse, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Pretty simple theme verse, but boy, challenging to practically do it, isn't it? Well, this is how it ought to be. Isn't it? UNC should win the championship. Maybe you're a Tar Heels fan, okay? Duke should win. And so when it doesn't happen, we're kind of upset. We're kind of like, Well, in our spiritual life, guess what? We've kind of grown up thinking this is how my life should pan out. And how many of you have figured out it doesn't always pan out the way you think it should? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? It doesn't take very long in life before you're like, hey, wait a minute. Why did I get sick? Why did I lose this one? Why am I facing these financial difficulties in my life? Why is my relationship with my children this way? It shouldn't be. And truthfully, because we're faced with circumstances that many times are not self-inflicted, okay, sometimes brought in, robs us of our joy. And Paul's teaching us that in each chapter, there's a different mind. Now, you that weren't in Sunday school, we really discussed just the first part of that, the circumstances, because in your Bible, the first 26 verses are really the circumstances that Paul faced. It said simply this, you don't have to lose your joy. But what he was getting at is there's a singleness of mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And Sam, what he was telling us is each chapter, there's going to be a different mindset that you and I have to have. And really, in chapter 1, it's found in verse 27. Would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's Word if you're physically able? Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27 through the end of the chapter. Look what your Bible says. The Bible says in verse 27, only let your conversation, there's a word we need to figure out what it means, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, that not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Father, we need your help. Lord, we're tempted to be robbed of our joy so easily. But Father, you're helping us this morning from your word through the life of your servant Paul to understand that if we are willing to have this singleness of mind, this Christ-likeness in our mind, that Father, we too, no matter what circumstance we face, can also keep our joy. Father, would you help us? Lord, would you use this in our lives so that those around us may desire you more? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm convinced one of the reasons why we're not reaching the world, can I say it that way? One of the reasons why we're not reaching the world is because I believe the world sees us and how we deal with life, and they see how they deal with life, and they see no difference. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. Would you notice what your Bible says? Paul challenges us here, and here's what he says. He says that ye may be, talking to the church of Philippi, or can I say it today, talking to us at this church, believers, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So Steve, what he's saying is, I need you to be harmless and blameless. Now, do you understand the word blameless means this, no handles? You say, what are you talking about? Oh, you know it. You can relate. You say, what are you talking about? How many of you have ever told your kids to do something, and then later on in life, you did that thing that you told them not to do? How many of you have ever been down that road? Oh, yeah, we all have, haven't we, as parents? And they said something like this, Mom, you do it. Dad, you do it. You know what you did? You just produced a handle, okay? The word blameless in the Bible has the idea of, hey, stop producing handles for others to hold on to. Now watch. We go through life and we have to deal with death. We go through life and we have to deal with financial hardship. We go through life and we've got to deal with spouses that maybe don't see eye to eye on everything. Okay? And so how we deal with that, watch, according to the Word of God, should be different. The bush, do something, okay? Yeah, it should be different. But you know what I find? Many Christians today, they deal with life just like the world deals with life. So the world looks at us and says, ha, there's no difference. The only difference is you get up, you get yourself all looking good, and at about 11 o'clock, you get in the car and you come to a building. Besides that, there's no difference. You don't have joy through these circumstances. You don't have anything that I don't have. So why should I ever come to what you do? And thus we have people that, hey, they need Jesus. How many of you think people around us need Jesus? Sure. But they're not interested. Why? Because we got all kinds of handles that don't seem any different than what they have. And so one of the greatest handles that, or one of the greatest ways we can remove the handles that are in our lives is by showing the joy of the Lord, even when you're facing difficult circumstances. And the only way that you and I, we're human, the world is human, is that correct? So our temptation to deal with life's difficulties is very similar to the way the world does it if we allow our minds to govern the way we respond. But when we take the theme verse of this great book, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, and we say, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to give you a chance. I am going to allow you to rewrite the narrative in my mind so that even though I face difficult circumstances, I don't have to lose my joy. And that's what Paul gives to us in four chapters. He gives us different minds that we need to have. Chapter 1, he says the singleness of mind. You say, well, what's that? It's to be Christ-like. Matter of fact, there's three parts of it. Look with me in verse 27. Look what your Bible says in verse 27. He says in verse 27, if we're ever going to have this singleness of mind, notice what it's going to consist of. Look what he says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Number one, if you're ever going to have this singleness of mind, you're ever going to be able to keep your joy through difficult situations. Number one, you must be consistently like Christ. You and I must be consistently like Christ. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at verse number 27. Only let your conversation. Can I tell you this? That is your walk, not your talk. Do you get what I just said? See, we've gotten real good at making our talk sound good, haven't we? We know when the evangelist comes around what words to use and what words not to use. We know when the preacher's invited over to the house, what shows are going to be on the television and what shows aren't going to be on the television. We know when people are around us from church, how we're going to dress and how we're not going to dress. Watch, we got the talk down. But this word has nothing to do with your talk. It's got all to do with your walk. And what Paul says is if we're ever going to have this singleness of mind, get it. You need to be consistently like Christ. You need to only let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Here's my question. If all we had was your life, all we had was your life, we didn't have the Word of God, but all we had was your life, here's my question. Would you be a good representation of the gospel of Christ? Would the way you live your life be a good representation for someone to fully comprehend Christ? That's a steep, tough, difficult question. You say, why? I'm convinced, Pastor Brandon, I'm convinced that here's the problem that we run into. We believe that our consistency is good. You say, what are you talking about? My son and I, before the Lord called me into evangelism, we're tile setters by trade, okay? And we say this often. When you're making your mortar, when you're making your mud for tile setting, can I tell you this? It's all about a good consistency. If you're too dry, you're wasting your time. If you're too wet, you're wasting your time. You got to get it just right. Because if you're got a good consistency, that mortar will last for quite a while in the bucket, okay? But if it's too dry, it'll harden up. If it's too wet, it'll never set up. And so the consistency is it's an art to get the consistency of the mud just right so that your tile stays on the wall and it looks good, all right? It's consistency. But the problem is in our spiritual life, get this, we believe we're consistent enough. You say, what are you talking about? Here we go. You know what I find across America? There are people that think their consistency is right with Christ because they come to church on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. You know what they say? I'm good. My consistency is great. I'm consistently like Christ. At 11 a.m., I come to Sunday morning church. I'm good to go, preacher. And watch. Can I tell you? Their mortar ain't going to stick no tile on no wall. Why? It's dry. Dry mud doesn't help hold any tile on any wall. But they've convinced themselves, Pastor, that their consistency of Christ is all they need. And so they've got this mortar that's got a little water, but very little stickiness to it. And they think, hey, I'm good to go. Why? Because I look at just those that don't go to church and I say, well, hello. I mean, I'm more consistently like Christ than that person is. And so what happens is we get at this idea that our consistency is good enough. We neglect what the Bible says, where the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We know that the Bible says we're supposed to dwell in worship in the house of the Lord. We know that He wants us to do that, but we've convinced ourselves, remember the false narrative? That it's good enough, I'm consistent enough to being like Christ, coming to church one time a week. Now here's the problem with that. It's against what the Word of God says. So then, listen. We all want the benefits of Christ, don't we? How many of you want to go to heaven when you die? Raise your hand. All right, yeah, I thought so, okay. We want the benefits. We all want forgiveness. How many of you like to be forgiven? Raise your hand. Sure. How many of you like to be loved? Raise your hand. Yeah. But get it. We don't want to do the work or the responsibility of it. We've convinced ourselves, get this, that our consistency is just fine. That's amazing. You read the book of Philippians, you know what Paul says? Now listen, this is Paul. Yeah, does anyone know what Paul has accomplished in his life? More than you and me will ever accomplish combined. And he says, I tell you what, not that I have apprehended or obtained or achieved. Paul, hate to break this to you, but man, you've done a lot, okay? God used you in a mighty way, Paul. Paul says, but one day I want to achieve this. One day I want to reach for the prize. You see what Paul's saying? Paul's saying this, I haven't gotten that consistent, but let me tell you, I'm going to keep on working at it. I was with a preacher last week, and I want to ask you a question. I said, do you feel like today, he's been in the ministry for probably 25, 30 years. I said, do you feel like today, Christianity today is different than ever before? He said, Brother Jake, it's way different. I call it this. I say today, we're dealing with a mutated Christianity. I teach science class every day. I teach a biology class and a physical science. You know what the definition of mutation is? Here it is. It's an abrupt change in the DNA. I'm convinced today we have an abrupt change in the DNA of Christianity. We're calling things Christian that God doesn't even have any clue why you even think it's Christian. And can I tell you why we're dealing with that? Here it is. Only let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. See, we can't have the mind of Christ if we're not going to be consistently like Him. Hello? If we decide, you know what, I'm going to live like the world and just live like Christ on Sunday morning, or let's go real long, you come Sunday morning and Sunday night. Wow, you're amazing. And then the rest of the week, we live like the devil. We live like the world. Can I tell you, do you really think you're going to keep your joy? You can't. Why? Here's the theme verse. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so why? Here's what we're trying to do. We want all the benefits. We want the joy. We want the love. We want the forgiveness. We want glory. We want all these things from God. But then we don't want to do what God says in order to achieve them. We don't want the responsibility. We don't want to have to be consistent. We want to do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. And Paul says, wait a minute. No. Hey, if you're ever going to keep your joy through difficult times, here it is. You got to have a singleness of mind. And you got to be consistently like Christ. But notice number two. Look what your Bible says in verse number 27. He says, not only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, it says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. All right, number two, he says, not only do you have to be consistently like Christ, you got to be cooperating like Christ. Now, Paul kind of switches gears on us, and he kind of brings the athletic idea to the table. You say, what are you talking about? You, well, how many of you, have noticed that the world teaches us this. How many of you have ever noticed a team that plays together well wins? How many of you have ever noticed that, huh? Yeah. The team that kind of like, boy, they got, we call it, in the sports world, we call it chemistry. They got good chemistry, whether it's basketball or hockey or football or baseball. I tell you what, they just, it's almost as if everybody knows where everybody's at all times. I mean, they've got a great team. They are a well-oiled machine. We say, man, I tell you what, they're going to win. Why? Because individuals very rarely win. Teams win, right? And the Bible tells us that the church is like a body. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that the Bible refers to the church as the body, right? And he says it this way, but one body, right? So there's many members of the church. But here's my question. Are all the members important? Yeah, yeah. Why? If I said, hey, come here, brother. I want to take your thumb, all right, and I want to take a hammer, and I want to smash your thumb. Now, you think your thumb's important? Well, you will after I smash it with a hammer. Right? Now, he might not think his thumb's that important right now, but let me tell you, after I smash it with a hammer, it becomes real important. But you know what the Bible tells us? That you and I have got to work at this thing of unity. How many of you have found out in your home that when everybody in the home is on the same page, your family life is great? How many of you figured that out yet, huh? Because isn't the opposite true too? When you're not striving together, when you're not with one mind, when you're not with one faith, often is the case, division. And so now what are we trying to do? We're trying to keep our joy, but let me tell you, it's not working. And the problem is with the idea of the church, and the problem is with the idea of the team, is that everybody doesn't do it the way we think it should be done. Isn't that true? I guarantee you, we could ask Pastor Brandon, does everybody at Andrew's Memorial think that it all should be the same? And he's going to say, not a chance. Why? Because every one of you have an opinion. God didn't create robots. Did you realize that? He created people with personalities and wills and talents and all these different things. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But listen to what your Bible says. You want to keep the joy? You want to have the singleness of mind? Here's what you have to have. Get it? It's very important. You got to be willing to cooperate like Christ. Now, that's tough. Why? Because how many of you here don't like to get your way? Raise your hand. Pastor Brandon, that was a bad time to raise your hand, okay? No, we all like getting our way, right? Early on that started. We love getting our way. Matter of fact, we do not like not getting our way. And then the Bible says, but guess what? Sometimes you're not going to get your way. You know what's sad, Brother Clift? Many times when people don't get their way, it robs them of their joy. It robs them of their joy. You say, why? Here's why. Because we're all about focusing on me rather than thee. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, the greatest commandment. Remember this? Jesus says that you would love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? What's the second one? That you'd love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say, and you love yourself as you love yourself. Wouldn't be proper grammar, so that probably wouldn't make sense either way, but, you know, where is it commanded in the Bible that you're supposed to love yourself? Husbands, love your wife. You know why? God says, according to the book of Ephesians, we don't have a problem men loving ourselves. Matter of fact, what he says is, he makes a comparative statement, love your wife as you love yourself. Why? Because we don't have a problem loving ourselves. Now get what he's saying. But if we're ever going to keep our joy, we got to get out of the me. We've got to start looking on the thee. And if we don't, we're not going to be willing to cooperate. If it's all about me, and by the way, we are in a self-absorbed generation. Okay? It's just a facts. We're in the self-absorbed generation. And so if we're only going to be about ourselves, can I tell you, there's going to be very little cooperation that's going to go on. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to find out, just like life's treated all the rest of us, that life isn't fair. And because it's not fair, it's going to rob you of your joy. And here's what Paul says so well. He says, now listen, I don't want you to lose your joy. I don't want you to lose your joy. But you got to have this singleness of mind. You got to be consistently like Christ. You got to be cooperating like Christ. But get number three. Would you look with me at verse number 28 through 30. He says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. All right, number three. If you're ever going to have this singleness of mind so that you can keep your joy, he says you got to be consistently like Christ. You got to be cooperating like Christ. But number three, it's very important. You have to be comprehending like Christ. You say, well, what do I got to comprehend? Look what he says in verse number 30. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to, what's the word there, class? Suffer for his sake. Can we just be honest for a second? Is there anyone here this morning, Pastor, don't raise your hand, that likes to suffer? You know what I'm saying? I know you're tempted. I'm going to stand over here and hold your hand down, all right? Is there anyone here that likes to suffer? No. We don't like suffering. That's the least on the top 10, okay, of things to do. We like it when everything's working just fine. We like enjoying life. We like when it's sunny, not when it's rainy. Why? Because we are people that have developed in our mind that this is awesome when we are not suffering, but flourishing. Now get this. Paul says in 2 Timothy, and yea, all that who live godly shall suffer persecution. You know what the world says? The world says this. Ha! I tell you what. Where's your God? Your God's kind of let you down, hasn't he? Matter of fact, if you looked at verse 28, that's exactly what he's saying. To the lost world, it's a token of perdition, destruction. But to us who believe, it is actually an emblem. It's a badge of honor that we not only believe, that we have a God who delivers. That's the word salvation. I get it. But in order to comprehend like Christ, can I tell you what you and I have got to do? We've got to educate ourselves. We've got to be willing to rewrite this thing right here. And to put in truth, not just tradition. We got to be willing to put the scripture rather than how we think it ought to be. Because if not, here's what happens. We go through this suffering. Now, I said it earlier. There is self-inflicted suffering. Okay? You make a bad decision, guess what happens? There's bad consequences. I hope you taught your children that. Right? That's why I go to camp and tell them, hey, stop. Why? Because the longer you're in this bad decision-making mode, the more bad suffering you're going to go through. So let's change. Let's stop. Let's not do this anymore. But the truth is, not all suffering is self-inflicted. Sometimes God brings situations of suffering into our lives, get this, to stretch us. Can I say it this way? To exercise our faith. Now let's just be honest. Most of us, just span in the crowd, exercise isn't on the top of the list of to-do. It's not something we get up in the morning and says, man, I can't wait to run 5 miles today. This is going to be a great day. But isn't it quite good for our lives? You go to any doctor, they're going to tell you, eat right and exercise. It's essential. God says, now listen, I want you to keep your joy even through suffering. Yeah, here's what you got to do. You got to be comprehending like Christ. You see, I find suffering comes in all different shapes and sizes, all different faces and forms. We don't have the suffering that Paul's facing when he's in prison because of faith. Now, I'm not saying we won't get there one day. It could possibly happen, okay? But none of us have been thrown in prison because we gave a gospel tract out or we carried our Bible to church or we even went to church. None of us have gone through that. But can I tell you, that's happening today. I can bring you into China and there are Christians that are sitting in prison for a 3-year sentence. You know why? Because they got caught with a portion of the Bible. I didn't say a whole Bible. A scripture. But can I tell you, just because we're not in prison doesn't mean we're not suffering. And what the Bible tells us is, hey, you don't have to lose your joy, but here's what you got to do. You got to understand what God is trying to do. I love what Paul says. Hey, this is a badge. This suffering can be a badge to those, the world out there, of that, you know what? Even though I'm going through this suffering, I don't have to lose my joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I don't even know what that means, but I'm telling you what, it's getting me through these difficult days. Last week, I was preaching in Archdale, North Carolina, just up the road a little bit, or down the road, wherever it is. And a young man, I shouldn't say young man, well, maybe he's a young man, 64. Maybe you think that's young, okay? I think it's not old, okay, but I don't know if I'd go as far as saying young, okay? He came to our service, Brother Clifton, first time visitor, came on a Sunday morning just like this, and was pretty faithful all the way through the week. He said, Brother Jake, he says, you don't know me, I don't know you. I said, you're right. He said, but I want to give you something. So why he gave me this book? It's his name is Will Harper. Most of us wouldn't know who he is. He's got an unbelievable life story. By the age of 19, he was motocross champion, 2 times, 250 and 500. He drove NASCAR, won that. He currently is a stuntman for motorcycles in movies. That's what he does. And his wife is also a stunt woman, and she got paralyzed, so that's why he's back here where her parents are from. But they live in LA, and pretty unique guy. But that wasn't the unique part. The unique part was he said that he became addicted to cocaine and drugs and ended up doing 10 years in prison. But he said in his 10 years of being in prison, it was the best thing ever. So I want to read to you one of his poems that he wrote. He wrote a whole book, and each poem has like a little bit where he was at. This one, he was in Great Falls Regional Prison on June 5th, 2005. The title of this one is The Joy of Trials. Listen to what he says. Now remember, he's in prison, all right? He's done something wrong, self-inflicted suffering, okay? But this is what he says. Listen to how God changed his mind to comprehend like Christ. Consider it all joy, my friend. The trials perfect us in the end. Don't look too hard for relief. Accept the test, faith, and belief. Endurance gained through the test makes us perfect. God knows best. Faith in God, our strength in trials. Peace in Christ reap big smiles. Suffering here makes us strong. The Lord decides for how long. The Lord decides, by his plan, our path are laid. This is the day the Lord hath made. Don't complain. Enjoy the test. Soon you'll enter into his rest. I thought to myself, wow. There's a guy who has figured something out. There's a guy who has comprehended like Christ. Can I tell you? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the circumstances and situation you find yourself. But through a study of chapter 1, I'm convinced that if you and I will decide, you know what? I'm going to have the singleness of mind like Christ, we too can keep our joy. Would you bow with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Church family, friends, thank you for coming here this morning to our service. This morning you're here, and maybe as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart. Hey, can I tell you, all week, tonight, we'll continue, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7, we'll continue, studying through this great book. But as I said earlier in the Sunday school hour, in order for us to keep our joy, in order for our will to be right, here's what has to happen. You and I have to get our hearts right. That's what we do when the Holy Spirit knocks on the door of our heart. That's what we have to do when we see that our consistency of being like Christ isn't consistent with Christ. That's what we have to do when we understand that it's all about me instead of all about thee. That's what we do when we don't get why we're going through these difficult times. We get our heart right, but that doesn't keep us long-term with joy. We've got to get our minds right. Maybe you're here, and as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, knocked on the door of your heart, and you're saying, you know what? I need to change my mind. I need to comprehend like Christ. I need to cooperate like Christ. I need to be consistently like Christ. And you know what? Brother Jake, would you pray with me that I wouldn't lose my joy? Because I had this singleness of mind just like Paul tells us in Philippians.